and appreciation to the Lord for all that He has done in this meeting thus far. It just seems like we are sitting together in heavenly places and we are walking through liquid Holy Ghost. We are wading through the bountiful and manifold blessings of God's wonderful Spirit. And the Word has come forth in every service and every setting that has made such a difference. Scripture said in Jeremiah 23 and 29, "Is not my word like as of a fire, saith the Lord? Is it not as a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces?" Literally means to bludgeon hardness until it scatters. And that's what's been happening around here. There's been a thread woven, as was pointed out to us last night. And I'm going to try to pick up that thread again today. But before I do so, I want to echo my appreciation for the friendship of Bishop Tom Johnson. He's quite a man. We've laughed a lot. We've cried together. We've shared heartbeats. We've borrowed books that have never been returned. We are close friends. The other day, driving down the road with Brother Riggin in our beautiful city in Glendale, Arizona, I saw a bumper sticker. And as soon as I saw the bumper sticker, I dialed up the phone and called Brother Johnson. I pushed a little button over on the steering wheel and said, "Dial Tom Johnson." And he answered, "Hello." And I said, "I've got to read this bumper sticker to you while we're following close behind." He said, "Read it to me." And the bumper sticker said, "Not even duct tape can fix stupid." Now, why that made me think of Brother Johnson, you'll have to figure out on your own. I want to compliment all of you young people for your receptiveness and your response to God. There's a trend that has developed in Pentecost that causes some of us to really be uncomfortable. That is to charge up to the front and to, in a celebratory mood, high five as the preaching goes forth and bounce around as if it's in some type of a worldly mosh pit. And a lot of that is short-circuiting and circumventing what the Holy Ghost wants to say to the congregation. We are very grateful for your response to the preaching, but that's not what we're after. We're after for life-changing experiences like are going on in this house this week. And I just want to compliment you as young people that you have been on your best behavior. Your decorum in the house of God has been impeccable. And I salute you. I really, really do. The pre-service prayer and the way that it has been conducted in this meeting ought to be the prototype for every meeting that goes on in America. Every gospel meeting, every apostolic meeting. Because there's not a lot of interference. I told some young men that I have tried to put my hands on, prepare them for the ministry. Once you invite people to pray and worship, put the microphone down. Give them a chance to follow. Driving people doesn't get you where you want to go. But leading in the Spirit does make a difference. Because our response is not to the man, but our response is to God through the directive of the pulpit. And I want to compliment this conference the way that you've done it. Song services have been such a thrill. And to worship God in these song services has been a privilege. Because in so many places there are songs that are now being sung in Apostolic Pentecost that have been borrowed from a charismatic movement that knows not God. Songwriters coming straight from the nightclubs are putting their natural talents to trying to put together some songs and words, and they're not producing a move of the Spirit. But around here it has been so very, very, very well done. And I appreciate it. Heartfelt appreciation again for everything. The young people that I am privileged to be their pastor, the effect upon them, observing them last night as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, observing them as the preaching went forth yesterday. It's immeasurable what is happening. And for me as a pastor, this meeting has become invaluable. There are some that have been to this meeting from the church that we are privileged to pastor that no longer walk with God. But this meeting will be a testimony in their spirit should they ever want to return. And I have confidence that when the word has been hidden in the heart, no matter how far they stray, there's something about that little moving upon the waves of the atmosphere of somebody's life, of the Spirit beginning to call them back home, that they'll remember moments like this meeting and meetings prior that will bring them back. I'm so grateful. I read this and I've shared this elsewhere, but I didn't actually read it, but I heard it, went to a fish hatchery with my wife and Elder and Sister Howard last summer, and they told us that salmon, when they are spawned in their native waters, that they acquire a taste for those waters. They have salmon in the hatchery that are right on the Gulf of Alaska, but they have diverted the waters of the stream to flow through that hatchery so that those salmon, as they are maturing, can taste that water. And once they are released to go out into the broad Pacific Ocean, some of them will travel as far as 7,000 miles away from their native waters. But something begins to work in the back, whatever God put in them, whatever God placed in them, wakes up and they start tasting their way back to their native waters. And they told us that a salmon can taste one drop of that waters of their home stream in 9 million cubic gallons of salt water. One drop of the native water, and they start going home, going back. The effect of this meeting, it's immeasurable. It's invaluable. And I salute this church and the ministry of this church for putting it together. Let's lift our hands right now and let's thank God. Matter of fact, would you stand? Let's thank God for Heritage Conference. Let's pray. Let's pray that if the Lord tarries, this meeting will continue. Heavenly God, we thank you and we praise you, God. We bless you and honor you, God. Appreciate all that you've done and all that you're doing. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. I salute the brethren, Brother Jones. That was powerful, sir. The anointing of the Lord that was on you was felt all over this building, and we thank you for being God's instrument. Elder Phil White has no peers. He has no peers. He walks with God and has for many, many years, and the hand of God is upon him, and he has the ability to help us every time he comes to the pulpit. And Brother Lawhorn last night tapped into the Holy Ghost and brought such a change. Thank you, Jesus. I've been weeping all morning. I don't know about you, but I went home last night disturbed and stirred in my spirit, saying, God, I want more of that. I want more of it. I crawled out of bed very early. I probably woke up soon after some of you got into your room, and I've been weeping all morning. I believe God is in this house. He's got something for us. I want the Lord to help us. I'm reading a familiar text. We read it last night, but I want to read it again. Acts chapter 2 and verse number 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as fire, and it set upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. I'm skipping down to verse number 38, very familiar setting of Scripture. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Acts 2:38 and Acts 2:39. Acts 2:38 is the plan of salvation, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ applied to our lives in eternal salvation if we live for the Lord. And you cannot escape the repentance, baptism in Jesus' name, and the indwelling gift called the Holy Ghost. The promise was not just on that day. The promise was not to Bishop Johnson's generation alone or my generation some 10 years behind or your generation alone, but it's to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. I'm pulling my thought this morning from the fourth verse, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. If this sounds familiar to last night, you just have to accept it. This is what the Lord dealt with me about. And when Brother Lawhorn read his text, I got that sick feeling in me that you brethren have had many times. Oh no, he's going to preach my message and my sermon. But he didn't, and so I'm going to. I'm going to try to my best to obey God and do what he's asked me to do. Would you pray with me one more time? Heavenly Father, we thank you. We are grateful for what you're doing and how you've done it. We ask you, God, today for your abundance and for your mercy to come. We are appreciative, God, of everything that you have done thus far. Now, God, one more time, we are submitted to you. We love you, God. We appreciate you. In the name of Jesus Christ. And everybody said, praise the Lord. You may be seated. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. This is born in my spirit as a pastor, observing people as they walk through life. As a God-called man, a sincere man, a man who is less interested in finance and more interested in what God is doing in his church, I never relinquish the burden or the feeling in my spirit about people living for God. I received a phone call, a message just about a week and a half ago, and on the other end, there was a concerned mother, and she was requesting that I take time to speak with her son. Her reasons for asking me to do so were that he was so depressed and he was so miserable that he was considering some unthinkable things in his life, but he was miserable. I held that young man in my hands when he was a newborn. I watched him as he made his way through the youth group, through our Sunday school classes. I also observed that somewhere in his life, He lost all desire, all interest in being one of God's select children. He didn't want to live for God. He has not lived for God. As a matter of fact, he's been quite resistant to any type of encouragement to love God. And so I have thought about it a lot. The answer to pastoring, and the answer to salvation, and the answer to a good life and a very fulfilling life is to be filled with the Spirit. To be filled with the Spirit. I was 18 years of age, a teenager, about to graduate from high school. As a matter of fact, I would graduate shortly after this event. But we had a pastoral change. And in the pastoral change, we got a young man who was 32 years of age. And he was consumed with a passion that everybody in every service should pray through. That they should be filled with the Spirit. That they should not allow one day to pass in their life that they did not stop, take the time to be filled again to the uttermost by speaking with other tongues as the Spirit would give them the utterance. I cannot tell you the Sunday nights in which he would come to the platform and his face would be suffused with the concentrated desire for the things of God. And he would shout out, it's tongue-talking time in Truth Tabernacle. Tongue-talking time in Truth Tabernacle. And so from the time that I was in those formative years of trying to know the things of God, there was an example that was placed before my life. If you really want to safely negotiate living this life in the presence of God, somewhere you've got to develop an appetite to be continuously and constantly filled with the Holy Ghost. Filled with it. Filled with it. Filled with it. Praise God. Say it with me. Filled with the Holy Ghost. We want to be filled with the Holy Ghost, not just at Heritage Conference, not just on Sunday night when it's traditionally a high service, because we've had the teaching and the preaching on Sunday morning, and we've had prayer, and we've had choir practice, and very little time for a carnal mind to go to work. And so we traditionally have a little more exuberance on a Sunday night. And that's the time that it seems like the young people like to come alive. But not just Sunday night being filled with the Spirit. But before you get up to go to your job on Monday morning, take time to be filled with the Spirit. Praise God. Thank you, Elder White. You can learn how to have early morning prayer. Oh, what a lesson, what a message, and what help from the Holy Ghost. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Not just on the nights when it's revival time, but every day filled with the Spirit. Waking up every morning, I want to walk with you today. I want you to be my guide today. I want you to talk to me today. I don't want to go anywhere you're not at. I don't want to do anything that you're not in. I don't want to say anything that you wouldn't be proud of. I don't want to do anything you'd be ashamed of. But today, God, let me be filled with your Spirit. Let me be tongue-talking full. Let me be overflowing full. Let me have this in my spirit. This is what I want. I want this. I want it more than anything. I want to be filled with the Spirit. I remember several years ago we were having a camp meeting, and we called it Old Time Camp Meeting. And Elder Morton came, and he preached every night of that camp from the book of Titus, chapter 3 and verse 5. Every night. And I observed that. On the last night, he preached, and conviction fell. And I noted something, Bishop, that caught my attention as a pastor, that in that 5 nights of preaching about being filled, being renewed, getting the Spirit in your life, 27 grown adults for the first time received the baptism of the Holy Ghost at a camp meeting. I paid attention to it. As a pastor, I really paid attention to it. I'm paying attention to it in this meeting, filled with the Holy Ghost. Paul is writing to the church in Ephesians 5 and verse 17. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Paul said, there's a possibility that we can be foolish, but he said, don't be unwise, but have an understanding what the will of the Lord is. What is the will of God? At your age, most of you are considering, what is the will of God for my life? What does God want for me? What is God putting his hand on my life for? What does God desire out of my spirit in the days and the years that are ahead of me? What is the will of God for my life? The next verse helps us to understand. And be not drunk with wine. That's the will of God. Wherein is excess? But he says, but be filled with the Spirit. I want to make it real simple if I can this morning. What is the will of God for your life? What is the will of God for your future? What is the will of God for your present? What is the will of God regarding marriage? What is the will of God regarding an occupation? What is the will of God regarding a calling in your life? The will of the Lord is be filled with the Spirit. If we can get that, if we can understand that, if we can grasp that simple concept, be filled with the Spirit, he'll take care of our career. He'll lead us in our marriage. He'll guide us in our calling. The steps of a good man are still ordered of the Lord. He still delights in the path. Be filled with the Spirit. Are you appreciative of what happened here last night? Why don't you shout unto the Lord and tell him so? Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. There's a lot of pressure on this generation. I'm looking at one of the most pressure-filled generations I've ever observed. It seems like a good praying through at a Heritage conference or at another youth retreat or a revival service for some just seems like it evaporates in just a few days. There is such pressure upon this generation. The scripture teaches us that in the last days that evil men and seducers are waxing worse and worse. The pressure that is upon us. Very seldom does this generation that we're living in feel clean, because we are so bombarded by things that are unclean, that are unsavory, that are godly. Conversations in your college classes. Conversations in your high school among your peers. Conversations on the job. Rubbing shoulders with men and women that know not the Lord. It has an effect on us. It has a dilatory effect upon us. And very seldom do young people come into the house of God and the purity of the Lord present that they do not feel just a little soiled and a little dirty, because you're still in the development of your life and you're still conscious of everything that's around you, and you haven't learned how to decipher between voices that are out there in the world that are trying to seduce your spirit and the actual seduction and the doing of the deed that is being attempted to be forced upon you. And so you come feeling like, I have failed and I'm dirty and I'm unhappy about it. But I'm going to tell you that the answer to that kind of a feeling is to be filled with the Spirit. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Please do not stand out of courtesy, but stand to honor the Lord this morning. I have taken this from the writings of someone else, and I quote, youth have become the primary target of sin and this worldly culture. The majority of entertainment, technology, social media is aimed toward teenagers and young adults. As a young person, there is a daily bombardment on your mind, on your psyche, and on your conscience. Beauty has become the idol, and success has been redefined to match the basest desires and emotions within humanity. That's the type of generation that you are living in, where the pressure brought to bear on you is undeniable, and it's unbelievable, and it never lets up. I don't claim to be a spiritual giant, but I'm going to tell you, there are times when I'm walking through life that I feel spirits that descend, and I vibrate as if there's something physically wrong going on in my body. I was walking through the congregation recently, and the most foul odor that I could ever imagine to smell came to my nostrils, and I recognize it's nothing less than the presence of a spirit. Somebody's in trouble. There's a spirit trying to overtake them. Somebody needs some relief. We need the wisdom and the power of the Holy Ghost to overcome it. Hallelujah to God. Amen. Being filled with the Spirit is the answer. God has a bigger purpose for young men and young women than to be seduced by the pressure. God's got something magnificent in your life. I wish I could take you. I wish that I could carry you. I wish that I could show you the depths of the Spirit that are available to you. I wish that I could carry you to that place of total submission and total involvement and total immersion in the Holy Ghost. You'd never feel good about this world in your lifetime again. You would never enjoy being carnal again. It would feel like so much dirt and filth and mud on your spirit, and you wouldn't even want to go back at all. In Matthew chapter 23, Jesus is dealing with the Pharisees.
He says at the beginning of that chapter that they sit in the seat of Moses. And you should do what they say to do, because they're giving you the law. But then Jesus went on to say, but do not their deeds, for they demand, but they do not themselves. You skip down to verse 25. He talks about the outside, that it is clean. But on the inside, they are full of something and is called extortion and excess. In verse 27, he calls them whited sepulchers, but within are full of corpses, dead men's bones, and of all uncleanness. And then in verse number 28, he is again rebuking them. The outside is matching the standard, but the inside is filled with hypocrisy and its twin iniquity. Iniquity, deliberate transgression against God, going through the motions, just simply abiding your time until you're no longer under the constraint of the pastor and under the restraint of your parents. And you can just get on out and do what you want to do and what you're big and well pleased to do. But oh God, help us. The Lord is dealing with them. You got something on the outside that's commendable, but on the inside you're full of something that ought not to be there. This all right? Matthew 12, it talks to us a little bit about that situation. Talks about the unclean spirit when it's been displaced, and that it walks through dry places, and it's seeking rest, and it finds none. In verse 44, he said, I'm going back where I came out of. Never you doubt that an unclean spirit that's been displaced through the preaching or through praying or through the laying on of hands or through the casting out by the work of the Holy Ghost. Never you doubt that that spirit does not come back and attempt to find a place in your life again, to take up his habitation and to live there again. I'm not young. I said this the other night, but I'll tell you, there are still spirits that I am familiar with their actions from the time that I was a teenage boy that come walking back through my life from time to time, trying the doors and trying the windows and trying to see if there's a way to get back in there. I'm preaching to somebody today that you don't need to be available to the old spirit that God put out of you, the old habits that you got rid of. You don't need to be available to them again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. And when he finds that there's access to get back into that spirit, back into that light, he says, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I am going to take seven other spirits. They are much more wicked than I am. And they're going to go back with me. And we're going to set up our dwelling in that vessel. And when we get there, the end is going to be worse than the first. When I read that, it scares me. Pastor Burgess, that bothers me. They think about the places I've been. I think about the spirits in my ministry I've had to confront. I think about mission fields. I think about the church that I pastor. I think about the things that I've confronted in my lifetime of ministry. And if something should happen, that there should be a vacancy in my spirit, I'm wondering if some of those displaced devils wouldn't try to come in and find seven other worse than themselves. You think Brother Garrett's a pretty good old boy right now, but you let him get under the influence of spirits, displaced spirits. I tell you, he won't be such a nice man. He will be much more vile and much worse than he ever was. And it's not just Brother Garrett, but it's you. And it's you. And it's you. And it's every person in this house. And it's every preacher that's ever preached. Oh my God, have mercy. You can't afford to ever be vacant. Can't afford to be vacant. How do you look good on the outside? But on the inside, there's stuff there. It's because you weren't filled. And when you're not full, there's vacancy. I thought about this. I said this to the church I pastor. I don't want to be a quart low of Holy Ghost. I don't want to be a half gallon low or a gallon low of Holy Ghost. I don't know how much room is needed to put something in my spirit that will condemn me and destroy me. And I'm not talking about a good spirit and an evil spirit dwelling together. I don't believe in that. But I believe if you ever get empty of the Holy Ghost, you are a prey to those things that are vile. What are some of the things that can get into the heart of a young person? How about hatred? Oh, I feel this today. How about hatred? How about vileness? You better be careful. You better be very careful. This is free, but I don't understand parents that buy their preteen and young teenage children a smartphone. It's like giving them a loaded revolver with the hammer pulled back and a hair trigger and telling them to play with it. What about Hollywood? What about Hollywood? What about movies? One of the reasons that we don't do clips and we don't do YouTube, and one of the reasons that we take a stand on that, is because we're not interested in developing an appetite. But they're funny, Brother Garrett. I don't care if they're funny. I don't care if there's something that happened across town to your best friend. Amen. I don't want a clip. I don't want a video. I don't want it. I don't want it. I don't want it. Going to put something in me that might lead me to Hollywood, and I don't want it. That's controversial, but again, I already clarified all of that before. Do what you want to do, but I know what me and my house are going to do. What about Hollywood? We're being inundated with young people on their smartphones and their devices and their gaming consoles, being able to access Hollywood movies. And as strong as I try to stand against it, and as harsh as I try to be in dealing with it, it still happens in the church I pastor. And it grieves me, it hurts me, and I grieve before God, and I run to the altar and I say, God, I apologize. Amen. Are you all right here this morning? I thought I'd teach a little Bible lesson, but instead it's turned into a very heavy burden. Hallelujah. What about the music you listen to? Whoever said it yesterday, I thank you very much. But getting our music from corrupted charismatics, Well, it's Christian music, Brother Garrett. Does it edify the soul and feed your spirit? I'm really old, but I don't even hardly listen to the radio anymore. I'm just not that interested anymore. I can't find anything edifying. And my God, surely you're not listening to popular music. I go on and on. What about a little self-will in that vessel? I'll do it my way and it doesn't matter. I know what's good for me and the pastor doesn't. Parents don't. What about a little self-will? Thank you, Brother Jones. What about gossip? I'm not interested. Makes me feel dirty. Feel like I've been vomited on. I don't want to hear it. What about a wounded spirit? I heard a lot about it yesterday. They call such people snowflakes because they melt down all the time. What about a wounded spirit? What about self-justification? What about a lying spirit? What about internet porn? There's not a young man in this house that has not been tempted. There's not a person in this house that hasn't been tempted. That spirit is ubiquitous. What about lust? What about stubbornness? What about smoking? What about alcohol and the use of it? What about the use and abuse of drugs? Heard somebody say it yesterday and it kind of shocked me that they come to the house of God and under the influence of drugs, they get out here and they dance. And I thought to myself, I hadn't thought of that. I hadn't even considered that. But in this generation we're living in, we have it so good out here. But on the inside, there's some abuse. What about immorality? Heavy petting. Parking in lonely, dark places. If God loves you and you're doing that, you're going to get caught. Somebody needs to hear, Brother Garrett. I said, if God loves you, you're going to get caught. And if God doesn't love you, you're going to get by with it. There's a scripture that haunts me. And I don't know how to, I'll just quote it. But it's found in the book of Proverbs, 22nd chapter. And it says these words, the mouth of strange women is as a deep, and whoso is abhorred of the Lord shall fall therein. There is nothing that is more final than cutting somebody's influence off, cutting their ministry off, cutting their potential off, cutting their future in God off, than for God to say, I'm done with them. And let them go. I'm getting in deep water here, and I understand. What about sexting? Putting stuff in here. What about unclean conversations? What about dirty, filthy associations? What about sensual attire? Mamas, would you please establish a routine with your daughters? And would you let them come see you before they ever leave their house, your house? And would you examine them And would you see whether or not they are sensually attired so that the lust of some evil-minded man or even some immature young man will be stirred up with them by your child. What about online gaming? Where you're hooking up. I never heard of this. I didn't know much about it until somebody came to me and said, Brother Garrett, did you know? And I said, no. No, I didn't know that. What are you talking about? Well, they're so good at games. They go online. They're hooking up with people around the world. And it's online gaming. When you become in fellowship with somebody whose spirit is corrupt, what about rebellion? I don't have to. I don't want to. And I felt a tremendous burden about this, and then this will be the last. But what about pride? What about pride? I'm preaching to young people that are not yet developed. I read that until you're in your mid to late 20s, that the frontal vortex of your mind is not yet fully developed. That's your cognitive reasoning. That's where your decisions are made. What about pride? What about trying to impress? You're at the age where it means more to you to be accepted by your peers almost than to be accepted by God. Pride enters into this. Proverbs 6:16 through 19 talks about six things that the Lord hates, and that seven are an abomination. And the Bible said they're an abomination to the Lord. And the top of that list is a proud look. A proud look. A proud look. To be an abomination, it means to be disgusting to, or to abhor it, which means to be intensely angry. It's an intense form of dislike. Literally, it means to foam and raged, intense. And the Bible said to the Lord that a proud look. I'm going to stand alone now. But I'm a big boy, so I'm going to stand alone. And I'm going to cover this subject like I feel it in the Holy Ghost. Praise God. The proud in heart, Proverbs 16:5, are an abomination to the Lord. Psalm 101:5, a high look and a proud heart, I will not suffer. I won't even tolerate it, God said. Proverbs 11:2, when pride cometh, then cometh shame. Proverbs 13:10, only by pride cometh contention. Proverbs 8:13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way, the Lord said, do I hate. Proverbs 16:18, pride goeth before destruction. My God, help us, help us, help us, help us, help us. There's too much pride. That's too much pride and heritage. That's too much pride in young people. That's too much pride in apostolics. It's becoming something we can hardly live with. It's producing an in-your-face attitude about style and dress and behavior. It's all about pride. Pride. pride's going to take us down the road to an apostate mind. If pride is not dealt with in Pentecost, it's going to take us away from the purity of God. I pastor a man that I love very much, and I want him to live for God. But he's got problems, and the reason that he cannot overcome, they have him shackled. He does good for a week or two, and after that, he's in trouble again because he is so proud. He will never come and admit. He will never confess. He will never go to an altar and say, "It's me." He will never go to a place and say, "God, I've got this problem in my life and it needs to be dealt with." If you can't say, "I'm sorry," you got too much pride. If you cannot take rebuke, you got too much pride. If you spent more time in front of the mirror this morning than you spent in prayer before service, you got too much pride. If you can't lay and wallow in the floor and pray and seek God, there's too much pride. If we cannot be broken before the Holy Ghost, there's too much pride. Help me, God. Somebody pray right now. Would you do it? Help me, God. Help me, God. God, help us, help us, help us. I'll be done in just a moment, I promise. Amen. If we cannot be rebuked, we have a problem. I got one of those phone calls just days ago, and on the other end was an elder. And when he finished, I thanked him, and I found a place of repentance, and I prayed, and I vowed to do better. I'm not so proud that I cannot be corrected. I need correction in my life. The day the phone rang and the secretary said, "It's Elder Morton on the telephone." And I picked up the phone saying, "Praise the Lord." And out of his mouth came these words, "Ronnie, God is mad at you." I'm telling you, my breath, I lost my breath. My blood ran cold. I could not get my composure. And when I could finally squeak it out, I said, "Yes, sir. Why is he mad?" And he told me why he was mad. And I said, "Yes, sir. Yes, sir." It was not about sin. It was about my voice. And I said, "Yes, sir." And he hung up. Bang. And I found a place of repentance to do it right. We have got to learn to allow the ministry and somebody in our life to come to us and correct us. Thank you, Elder Lawhorn. I'm sorry to be covering the same ground, but I got this burden on me before I got here. Hallelujah to God. Mark 7 talks about those things that defile. And he said that which comes out of a man is what defiles him. And one of those things that he mentioned in the 7th chapter, 20, 21, 22, and 23, is pride. And they defile the man. They defile the man. Why? Because Paul wrote that no flesh should glory in his presence. Check the way you're dressed this morning. Does it honor God or does it honor you? Check your attitude this morning and your hairdo. Does it honor God or does it honor you? Check your conversation this morning. Does it honor God or does it just make you feel better? pull my coattail any time you want to, elder. I'll sit down, I promise you. But Pentecost and this youth group and this generation has got to learn that hell is using the mechanism of a proud look to get us in hot water. And the scripture said they are full of these things. And I close if the musicians would come quickly. But John 4 and 14, with Jesus dealing with the woman at the well, he said, the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. A well fills up from the pressure beneath. And a well leaves no vacuum behind, but a well keeps pushing that level up and pushing it up until whatever container that it is in, it bubbles up and pushes the impurities out of it. It's not like a cistern that can evaporate and be filled with all kinds of uncleanness, but it's always full. And if something falls in that ought not to be there, it pushes it out and gets rid of it because it's something on the inside that is flowing, 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 flowing. Jesus said in John 7, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, that they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given because that Jesus was not yet glorified. It's going to be wells of living water. It's going to be a river flowing. Therefore with joy shall they draw water out of the wells of salvation. When you start pouring into that vessel, everything that's unclean has got to come out. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. You want to be happy? Be filled with the Spirit. You want to have a good life? Be filled with the Spirit. You want to enjoy your walk with God? Be filled with the Holy Ghost. They were filled with joy. They were filled with the Holy Ghost. It says in Acts 11 about Barnabas, he was a good man. Why was he a good man? Because he was full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people were added to the Lord. I'm convinced that the revival that we want to have in our churches is going to be a revival of the Holy Ghost springing up in our spirits and in our hearts. And there will be souls that will be added to the church when the Holy Ghost is flowing. Let's get full of the Holy Ghost. Let's get full of the Holy Ghost. Let's get full of the Holy Ghost. How do I get full of the Holy Ghost? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Spring up, O well. Spring up, O well. There'll be no room for lying. There'll be no room for fornication. Spring up, O well. There'll be no room for pride. Spring up, O well. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When I hear somebody tell me I'm trying to live for God, what that tells me is they're trying to hang on to the world and hang on to their sin and feel sympathy for sinners. They're trying to hang on to the world. Thus they say they're trying to live for God. You don't have to try to live for God. Just get full of the Holy Ghost. It'll be as easy as falling off of a log. It'll be as easy as getting up in the morning and putting your shoes on. Get full of the Holy Ghost. All over this house, lift your voice, lift your hands, and say, God, fill me with your spirit before I leave here.
Search me, oh God, and know.
Come on, let's respond to the Holy Ghost right now. We've got time to pray. Let's respond to the Spirit.
Try me, oh.
Let's all pray, but I want us to stand to pray, please.
Somewhere,
amen, amen, amen. Let's stand and pray right now, please.
In
Jesus' name. Come on, you can pray standing. We've got to have your Holy Ghost.